A report today suggests that relations are not warm between the Trump administration and the World Trade Organization. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The U.S. might start going around the World Trade Organization when it thinks other countries are cheating on trade. That report in the Financial Times was written by the paper's World Trade editor, Sean Donnan.
So what we're hearing is that what they've done is asked the career staff at the U.S. Trade Representative's office to draft a list of alternatives to the WTO, i.e., if I was going to take a dispute against China and I didn't want to go to the WTO, how would I go about it? And how would I go about it under U.S. laws, kind of unilaterally?
So under U.S. laws, so it would be cool, even though our relationship with the WTO is governed by a treaty?
There are still U.S. laws on the books that would let Trump administration go ahead and do its own actions. But the consensus for the last 20 or so years has been that actually the WTO is this kind of neutral arbiter, and it's the better place to have these fights. It's sort of the Supreme Court of trade, if you will.
But what about overall? Is the Trump administration committed to the World Trade Organization or not?
I mean, they had a point in saying that actually we're not going to comment on this until we have a U.S. trade representative in place. But if you look back through the campaign, Donald Trump has a number of times said, if we don't like what the WTO is doing, we're going to pull out of the WTO. And he sees it as one of these unfair trade deals that the U.S. has been saddled with. Now, that is a huge change. Since the Second World War, the U.S. has been the main backer of the WTO, and before that, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, which were these rule-setting bodies for global trade that were all meant to avoid the breaking out of trade wars.
Speaking from Washington, Sean Donnan is World Trade Editor for the Financial Times. Sean, thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Lighthizer could be confirmed as the new U.S. trade rep next month. He's a lawyer who's represented the steel industry in trade matters. Billionaire investor Wilbur Ross could be confirmed as Commerce Secretary today. Now to the business of medicine. Researchers from Massachusetts General Hospital say a simple blood test could help identify coronary heart disease, the most common heart disease in the U.S. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein reports.
What if your doctor could draw some blood and tell you with high confidence that you did or didn't have a blocked up artery in your heart? Dr. James Januzzi is a cardiologist from Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston and says this is impressive.
We have more work to do, but it is definitely a step in the right direction.
Januzzi conducted research on the blood test, which was developed by the firm Prevencio. The CDC says more than 370,000 Americans die every year from coronary heart disease. Januzzi says the potential value here is that the test may more accurately identify the problem compared to the current crop of diagnostic tools, which include stress tests and CT scans.
Those tests are expensive. They expose patients to ionizing radiation.
If the Prevencio test lowers disease and death rates as predicted, the $400 test could save money and obviously improve health. On the other hand, if it gets FDA approval and ends up being overused, it could become the latest poster child in an industry full of overprescribed tests that do little other than add costs. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
More than a dozen states are weighing increases to taxes on diesel and gasoline. Gas has been running cheap, so the tax hikes might be more palatable. Also, as some vehicles get more efficient, they use less gas, generating less tax to fix the roads. Yet in Tennessee, the gas tax has not gone up in decades. Chaz Sisk with WPLN reports.
Nashville is growing fast. As many as 85 people a day move into the city and its suburbs. That's meant congestion, deteriorating roads, and scores of overstressed bridges. Several have even been shut down. So some say this is a good time to raise Tennessee's gas tax, the 10th lowest in the nation. But not Tricia Stickle, president of the Murray County Tea Party.
I've lived in seven different states. I think we have excellent roads.
Stickle lives about an hour south of Nashville in the town of Columbia. She and her husband used to own a trucking company in Nevada. That taught her a gas tax hike doesn't stop at the pump. It'll trickle across the economy through higher prices. And that'll also mean a higher sales tax on those goods.
Consider all the food in your grocery store. This is a double whammy. Every good in that store will be increased, and they'll get the tax on that.
Stickle is among those fighting Governor Bill Haslam's plan to raise Tennessee's gas tax by 7 cents a gallon and its tax on diesel by 12 cents. It would be the state's first increase since 1989. Only four states have gone longer: Alaska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Mississippi. And they've also weighed hikes this year. Nashville trucking executive David Manning supports an increase, even though it'll mean spending more on fuel.
Quite honestly, there's a lot of costs that we face today that are created through congestion and created through safety issues and created through vehicle maintenance because the quality of the roads.
Governor Haslam has sugarcoated his proposal by offering to cut other taxes. Still, small government groups like Americans for Prosperity are fighting it. Haslam concedes he might not win.
I just think that's just the reality. I mean, we live in a state that is very conservative about how we spend money and how we do taxes.
That conservatism may wind up sinking a gas tax hike in Tennessee once more. In Nashville, I'm Chaz Sisk for Marketplace.
And the global accounting firm PwC thought it had a great branding annuity, given its yearly role managing the secret envelopes for the Oscars. A great branding device until last night, when the system somehow went awry, and for 2 minutes and 29 awful seconds, the world thought La La Land won Best Picture, when in fact Moonlight was the real winner. Bryce Waterhouse says it's sorry and is investigating. We looked into the history of accountants at the Oscars. If you missed that on the air, it's in the first Marketplace podcast of the day. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.